The Bible said in Luke chapter 22 and verse 31, I want to begin reading there tonight. In verse number 31, the Bible said, "The Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." And he said unto him, "Lord, I'm ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death." And he said, "I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me." This is a very familiar passage of Scripture in the Word of God. But I believe the Lord wants to take it tonight and maybe kind of sound a little warning as we head in towards the Christmas season, as we head in towards Christmas Day. The way the Lord spoke to my heart is, "Pastor, Satan hath desired to have thee, to sift thee like wheat. Pastor, Satan hath desired to have your Sunday school teachers, to sift them like wheat. He's desired to have every family in our church to sift them like..." How many believes I'm on track right there? I mean, he don't want us to enjoy Christmas. He don't want us to enjoy each other's fellowship. He don't want us to enjoy good things around the house of God. He don't want us to enjoy the Christmas caroling, the Christmas play, the Christmas program. He desires to sift us like wheat. I want to say a little bit about that tonight, and I hope you'll pray for me. Father, thank you tonight for the Word of God. Lord, I know that this story is here for a reason. And Lord, it's written for our admonition, for our learning. And Lord, we do have an enemy. Lord, the Bible told us over in the book of Peter. I just now thought about, Lord, no wonder Peter's the one that talked about our adversary, the devil, who walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Peter had already had some experience with that rascal, and he tries to warn us, our Father. And I pray that you'll just help us tonight, and Lord, to glean from the Word of God. Thank you for our visitors tonight, this morning. Thank you for our visitors, for each one of our folks that are just so faithful. Lord, I pray that Brother Rick's time with his mom tonight would be a blessed time. Lord, I know that one day soon, Lord, we'll get together around the throne of God, and it'll be nothing but blessings forevermore. Until then, Lord, give grace where grace is needed, and we'll give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. There's four things, I guess, I want to look at tonight in the message hurriedly. Number one, Satan's desire. Satan has a desire, the Bible said, to sift you like wheat or as wheat. And if you take a sift, I read a little bit about it, and there's in the Bible time, there's kind of sharp edges on those little squares, so to speak, those little shapes. What it does, it lets the wheat fall through, and it would little pieces of clay or little pieces of stone, little pieces maybe of chaff that didn't get blown away, it won't fall through. So what it does, actually, the sift separates. And we need to go on in our lives realizing that we have an enemy that wants to separate us. He wants to separate us from our family. I sat in the fellowship hall today, and y'all forgive me for just a minute, but when I looked and saw my daughter, Amanda, coming down through the middle of the fellowship hall, it was as it were an angel from heaven, because it hadn't been too long ago. I had all but given up hope. But you know, God is on the throne, amen. But Satan, he wanted to separate us. He meant it for evil, amen. He wanted to separate Joseph from his brethren. He wants to separate families. He wants to separate the family of God. He wants to separate us from fellowshipping with God. I mean, he despises a believer that would fellowship with his heavenly Father. And so tonight, that's his tactic, is to separate. And I wrote down a few things here.
He wants us to drift away from the church. That's his desire. He wants us to be at ease in Zion. Listen, tonight, I hope somewhere this afternoon, at least the thought crossed your mind and you bowed your head and you prayed for those two souls that were represented by two hands. And I found out after church that one of them, a young lady, I told her I was saved when I was 27. I found out she's 28. And I found out she just got out of jail last Tuesday. You say, "Preacher, are you throwing stones at her?" No, I'm just trying to tell you, beloved, Satan's desire is that you and I be caught up so much in ourselves and so much in this world that we don't even have time to think about somebody else or time to pray for somebody else. She's somebody's daughter. She's got three children. And I'm burdened for her, amen? I don't see God do a work in her heart and in her life. Only God can do that work. And beloved, Satan wants to destroy her. He wants us to be distracted. He wants us to be at ease in Zion. He wants us to neglect our Bible. He wants us to quit praying. Listen to me here right quickly. He wants us to lower our standards. That's exactly right. Let me just say something to you, beloved. Listen, I'll say as kind as I know how. But I hope our church, as long as I'm pastor, it ain't going that way. Amen. We're not going to loosen up the standard. Amen. And start dressing like we're going to a nightclub. Men, please, dress like men. Ladies, please, dress like ladies. And Satan desires. He desires for us to drop our standard on the Bible. I could say some things tonight, but I don't want to be pointed with it. I'll just say it like this, beloved. There shouldn't be anything hanging anywhere in this church except King James Bible. I'm going to leave it right there. If you want to be a blessing to your pastor, you take you a crayon and you write him out a card before you go buy something with a verse from an NIV or anything else in it and give it to him for Christmas. Fold you a piece of paper in half and put "Merry Christmas, Pastor," and write you a verse out of the King James Bible, please. It bothers me. Either it's the Bible or it's not. Satan desires to sift us like weed and separate the saints of God from their Bible. Oh, beloved friend, tonight he wants us to criticize the church. He wants us to lose our temper. He wants us to act selfishly. He wants us to be lukewarm in the service of our God. Jesus said, "I would that you were cold or hot." Beloved friend, I'll tell you tonight, God is warning us tonight. We're headed into a season that ought to be, Brother Ralph, you sang the opening song, I think, in the choir, "Joy to the World." We ought to be so full of joy. But we have an enemy that wants to just poke a hole in us and every bit of the joy be drained out of us. Amen. That's what he wants. He wants it to become, beloved, listen, a duty instead of a delight. How we ought to delight in him. I see Satan's desire, and I could go on and on and on right there. But let me give you this secondly. I see the Savior's design. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean?" Well, look at it here tonight. The Bible said in verse 32, "But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Let me just give you a couple things quickly. One verse of scripture. Number one, deliverance through prayer. That's the design of God. We need to be prayed up. Don't get too busy to pray. Nothing wrong with practicing the play, but we need to practice to pray as well. Amen. We got a lot going on. Brother Steve, bless his heart, he sounds like he's reading a book when he gets up here to give the announcements. But listen, don't get too busy. Don't get so wrapped up in everything and all the season that we forget to pray. Jesus said, listen, here's his design. Satan's coming. Yes, he is. But his design is pray. I have prayed for thee. Second thing I see is deliverance, not only through prayer, but deliverance through faith. The word of God said here that thy faith fail not. How many of y'all get weak a little bit in your faith sometimes? Even Abraham, the great man of God in the Old Testament, at times, beloved, had a lapse in his faith. You and I, we need to remember in the design of our Savior, we can be delivered through prayer. We can be delivered through faith. But let me give you this. In his design, that deliverance will produce a change. The Bible said here, when thou art converted. You say, preacher, I don't understand the change. I'll explain a little bit more in a minute. But right now, Peter's speaking in himself. Peter's wrapped up in himself. Peter's boasting in himself. Peter's confident in himself. Peter's saying, listen, it don't matter where you go, even to death, I'm going with you. But Peter's making a mistake. Peter's forgetting some words, and I like to say it like this. We ought to use those words by the grace of God. We should never look over there and see somebody doing something, say, I'd never do that. We ought to say, by the grace of God, I don't want to do that. By the grace of God. The Word of God's telling us here there's a design, deliverance that produces change. And then it's a deliverance that's to be shared. Some of you all, listen to me tonight, have been down the road further than I. Me. Ask the English teacher. I don't know which one I'm supposed to use right there. Further than me? Further than I. Glory to God, I got it right the first time. Must have been Satan that caused me to question myself. I'm sorry, I aggravate my wife. Y'all know that, don't you? That's what she gets for teaching English all those years. She just forgot this student. He's not a good student, amen. The Word of God is teaching us here that it's a deliverance that's to be shared. Some of you all have been down the road far enough that you remember what it's like to get all torn out of frame, all out of sorts. What am I going to get so-and-so? Help me. And it becomes about the stuff. You've already been down that road. Now what God's saying here to Peter said, when you're converted, when you understand this, Peter, you strengthen somebody else. Strengthen the brethren. And I believe that's what we ought to do as God's people, amen, is look for somebody else that we could come alongside of and help them, amen, to understand what's going on. There's Satan's desire. There's the Savior's design. The saints' downfall. Look at verse 33. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. You know, his I am ready is a little bit different than the Apostle Paul's in Romans chapter number 1. Let's look at that just for a moment. I don't want to misquote it. Romans chapter number 1. Notice what the Bible said right here in Romans chapter number 1. It's a wonderful verse of Scripture. In verse number 14, Paul said, I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. Listen how it reads in verse number 15. Paul said, so as much as in me is. It's not about Paul here. It's about the one that lives inside of him. As much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Listen, Peter said, I'm ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. You say, preacher, what is the downfall here? Number one, the danger was not recognized. Peter didn't realize the danger that he was in when he got within himself. Beloved, you and I don't either. We wouldn't get within ourselves if we realized how dangerous it is to get within ourselves. The Word of God says here, he said, I'm ready to go with thee. He was quick to answer. The Word of God said, we're supposed to be swift to hear and slow to speak. And Peter just jumped in there and answered him immediately. And then he was relying on himself instead of his Savior. You see, that'll get us in trouble every time. I believe that this deliverance that God wants us to share tonight with one another comes through prayer. I'll back up and give you something in a minute. Look here at the saints' deliverance, number four. You say, preacher, what do you mean? There's hope. The Bible said here in verse 54, then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed. Somebody tell me the next two words. I tell you what we better do. We better get close, and we better stay close. You know what happens to marriages? What was once close is now far off. How many knows I'm telling it right? You know what happens to the saints of God sometimes? One time, boy, they were close to their Bible. They were close to the Lord. They were close to the people, close to the God's people. They were close, and now they follow. Oh, yeah, they haven't quit following. Listen to this word, yet. They're following far off. Fellowship's not like it used to be. The fire's not like it used to be. Listen, you say, preacher, I feel sorry for those people. You might be feeling sorry for yourself. Pastor might be feeling sorry for himself if we don't take heed that Satan desires to sift us like wheat. Watch this now as we go down through this text quickly. The Bible said in verse 55, and when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall, they were set down together. Peter sat down among them. Let me say this to you tonight. Peter's sitting down by the fire, but it's the wrong fire. You know, tonight, what is it that fires you up? What is it that warms your heart? If it's not the things of God, you're in a dangerous position. So here's Peter. He sits down among them. And in verse 56, a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire, earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. After a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. Listen to me tonight. Listen to me carefully. How many believes that first time right there, the wheels should have already been turning in Peter's mind and in Peter's heart? I'm going to tell you something right now. We can get so far off that the wheels don't turn like they used to. Help me. We don't take heed like we used to. And the word of God said here, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. And now, about the space of 1 hour after that, another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow, he's pointing at Peter, also was with him, for he's a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. Now the wheels are turning. And the Lord looked upon him. Has the Lord ever looked on you when you were afar off? Some of us wouldn't be sitting in this building tonight if he hadn't looked on us when we were afar off. The word of God said the Lord looked upon Peter. Now watch this. Right here's the key. This is what I wanted to say. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord. Right there's the key, amen, to getting deliverance. Peter remembered the word of the Lord. How that he said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And the word of God said, Peter went out and he wept bitterly. You know what concerns me in our generation? People can walk afar off and never weep. It makes me wonder sometimes, did they ever walk close to start with? Because I do believe this. If you've ever one time walked with God, nothing else will ever do. There's nothing in the world that'll take the place of walking with the Lord. I want to read this tonight. Brother Wayne gave it to me. There's some things in this, Brother Wayne, that I was not aware of. I appreciate you giving it to me. He didn't ask me to read it tonight, but when he handed it to me, I just looked up at the top and it said, the battle is won by prayer. I said, wow, Brother Wayne, you didn't know what I was preaching tonight. But Jesus said, but I have prayed for thee. Guess what tonight? He's praying for us too. How many believes that? Seated at the right hand of God the Father to make intercession for us. Listen to this tonight. In this world, we live in a constant warfare. Personal, for our families, for God's church, for our civil governments. Everything is easily understood when we know and accept this fact. If we don't know it or refuse to accept it, then we put ourselves under the warning in Scripture, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We're seeing this battle in the civil realm reveal itself in Judge Roy Moore's candidacy for the United States Senate in Alabama, Senate seat in Alabama. Let me just say this tonight. I'm going to go on record as saying, not I believe he's guilty or I don't believe he's guilty, but I'm going to go on record as saying there's a law in this land that says you're innocent until you're proven guilty. And what I say to people is, put up the evidence or shut up. He said here, I didn't know these things. Thank you, Brother Wayne, for giving this to me. Judge Moore has stood for the Ten Commandments as the moral foundation for our civil law. I can say I appreciate any man that would do that. For his stand, he was removed as the Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court. I didn't know that. He was reelected as Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court, and he stood for biblical marriage. That is, between a man and a woman only. For this, he was suspended and was awaiting trial. When he chose to resign from the court and run for the U.S. Senate seat, vacated by Jeff Sessions when President Trump appointed him to be the Attorney General, Judge Moore's stand for biblical principles has brought him hatred of the left-wing people in the universities and the media, as well as the big political bosses. They've attacked his moral character, saying he's abused teenage girls nearly 40 years ago. Interesting how they couldn't find any flaw in his character for over 30 years. So his political enemies reach way back to find something with which to accuse him. He said, let's get a clue here. The Bible teaches this warfare. Jesus told us Satan comes to kill, to steal, and destroy. The Apostle Paul said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So should we be surprised when Satan attacks one who has stood so firmly with the Lord and his word? Mo Brooks, the U.S. representative who ran against Judge Moore in the August primary, brings some important insight to these attacks on Judge Moore's character. Of note is that Mo Brooks is a former prosecuting attorney, and Brian Fisher quotes him as saying, my evaluation of the evidence is that there is only the remotest of possible chances that if this went to court, that a jury would find Roy Moore guilty of anything. That's how flimsy the evidence is. And if I were ordered by a judge to choose which side I wanted based on whom I thought would win in front of a 12-person jury of peers, I would in a heartbeat jump on Roy Moore's side because that's where I think the evidence is. But what you have in the mainstream left-wing socialist news media is they're trying to distort the evidence to cause people to reach a conclusion that Roy Moore engaged in an unlawful conduct with a minor. He said, brothers and sisters, I urge you to join in this warfare by praying for the truth to be seen in this attack on Judge Moore. I'll not only pray for that, but I'll pray that the truth come out. Somebody help me tonight. By the way, it may never come out in this world, but honey, it will come out. You can mark that down. He asked us to pray. He said, I believe there's no truth to the accusations against him. In my opinion, I think Satan is afraid of having Roy Moore on the U.S. Senate seat, in the U.S. Senate. And that is what this warfare is all about. I ask you to join me and pray in Isaiah 59:19. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. More and more in these days, we must enter into the civil realm with warfare praying. Are you doing it? I'm going to tell you something right now, folks. This country is being destroyed one decision at a time. And I believe the only hope is one decision at a time going in the other direction. I will say this tonight. I appreciate anybody that stands for the Ten Commandments. I appreciate anybody that stands for marriage as between one man and one woman for one lifetime. I appreciate that. That's God's way. Amen. Beloved, I praise the Lord tonight that Jesus said, listen, Satan's desired to have thee, but I've prayed for thee. You know, this is painful here for Peter. When he made eye contact with Jesus, I don't know what that contact was like, but I've made eye contact with my daddy before, Brother Larry, when I disappointed my daddy. And I'd rather him took a belt to me, brother. It'd have been easier than looking in his eyes, knowing that I had disappointed him. But I'll tell you something right now. Peter went out and wept bitterly. Jesus showed up one day after he rose from the dead. Peter and them boys out there fishing. He girded his fishing coat and jumped in the sea. One of them said, it's the Lord. They got there on the shore. Of course, you know the story. Jesus told them, cast their net on the right side. We've been fishing all night. Children, have you any meat? He said, cast your net on the right side. And they did. And they couldn't hardly pull it in. They get to shore. Jesus already got a fire built. Already got fish cooking. Already got bread cooking. And he has a little talk with Peter. Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Hallelujah. How many believes there's some reconciling went on that day? You say, preacher, how do you know? I know this. Jesus would not pick a man that was not reconciled to stand up on the day of Pentecost, amen, and preach the word of God. But he picked Peter to stand up there that day. 3,000 were going to get saved because, yes, he walked afar off. Yes, he denied, but somebody prayed for him. God reached out there and got him. Said, come back here, boy. I ain't done with you yet. And I believe with all my heart, I'm speaking to people tonight. God ain't done with you yet. Amen. And I believe we need to understand Satan hath desired to have us, to sift us like wheat. He wants to separate us from fellowship with him, fellowship with one another, separate us from our faith, separate us from our family. He wants to separate us tonight. God's in the unifying business. Satan's in the separating business. Amen. I'm just glad you come tonight. Watch out for him, will you? Watch out for him. Watch out for him. I said, watch out for him. Watch out for your brothers. Watch out for your family. Watch out for old Slewfoot, because he'll be along trying his best to hurt the people of God. Let's pray together. Father, thank you tonight for your people, for a few minutes together in the house of God tonight. Lord Jesus, I do not claim to know what your will is in that election in Alabama. But I do claim to know this, Lord. You set them up and you take them down. I'm asking you, Father, tonight, not my will, not our will, but thy will be done. Lord, we need you in this country. Lord, I know that our president has faults and flaws. I also know I do. But Lord, how refreshing it is that there's somebody that recognizes there's nothing wrong in America with saying Merry Christmas. And Lord, he even went further than a lot of preachers have ever went when he talked about Christ and Jesus coming into the world. Father, I pray, help us. Lord, I know that we could give up. But Lord, when I look in Sawyer's eyes, I don't want to give up. When I look at Olivia and Amelia, I don't want to give up. God, I'd like for them to know the freedoms that we know, the God that we know, the privileges that we know. I know, Lord, there's an attack on our country. Lord, if some have their way, you won't even recognize our country. Lord, I pray, thy will be done. Help us tonight, Lord, to realize that Satan, he desires to have us. Lord, help us to know there's power in prayer. We can pray for one another. But we need to realize also, but Jesus said, I have prayed for thee. Lord, it's a blessing to know you're making intercession for us tonight. Help us now, Lord, as we work this evening. Help us, those that are in the play, Lord, memorize their lines. Be a blessing, Lord, Sister Danita. I pray, Lord, and Sister Cindy, just help us all to work together. And may, Lord, there be a sweetness around here. May there be a kindness that only the Lord Jesus can produce among his people. Help us, Father, to reach out to those that are hurting. Lord, that young lady this morning, Lord, she knows now there's a need. Help her to know, Lord, where she can have that need met in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thank you, Lord, tonight. In Jesus' name.